This morning we're going to turn to the book of Haggai once again. It is the third book from the end. If you are unfamiliar with where it is, you can find that on page 791 in the provided Bibles if you are following along in there. We have heard several messages from Haggai already. The first one in which he exhorted them to change their priorities to the things of God, to do the work that he had called them to do 16 years ago, which was to rebuild the temple. Next he comes as they begin that building process and are looking at the meager supplies that they have. And he encourages them that what they see now will become even greater than what they can imagine. And now we once again get another word from Haggai. So let us hear now God's holy word. We're going to start at verse 10. And we'll read through verse 19. On the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands. And whatever they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you with all the products of your toil, with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the oil, or the olive tree, have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. So far our reading in God's holy word. Beloved people of God, there are certain dates in the calendar year in which we often consider significant. It may even cause us to reflect on the things of the past and even what is to come. As some of you may have noticed, if you are Facebook friends with me, this last week was Josiah's birthday. And so we celebrated that day. And me and my wife took time to look back on the photos of old where he was a young child and remembered him growing up. But we also took time to think about how he would, or what he would become in the days to come. Memories came back, but we also thought about what this child would be like in the future and what we pray for him in the future. As the church, we also take times in the calendar to reflect on what God has done for us in history, such as Christmas. We remember the time in which Jesus came to earth as a little baby, began his work in humiliation and was resurrected, which is Easter, died, which is Good Friday. These are times in which we reflect on the goodness of God and how His promises go into the future. But we have also, in this last week, marked a time in which we were to consider. We were to take time to reflect on our walk with God. How has it been going? How have you fared? Are you ready to come to the table of the Lord again this coming Sunday? A time, we were called to a time of reflection. Haggai also comes on a very specific day. A day that was marked with celebration because they had now laid the foundation of the temple. Now this could mean that they are just merely rebuilding further as the foundation was laid earlier, or that they have finally again begun to lay that foundation and stone has been placed upon stone. But this is a day in which they have gathered to celebrate once again. And Haggai comes to them and tells them to assess the work. Assess their work over the past few months. And also to encourage them in the blessing of God. And so Haggai comes with this message. Only defiled work can come from defiled people. Yet God blesses those who turn to Him. Once again, only defiled work can come from defiled people. Yet God blesses those who turn to Him. And we will see this theme as we work through our text. So first of all, we will look at verses 10 through 14. And the question of purity, the questions of purity that Haggai raises is applied to the people's work. Then secondly, he comes with a message to consider the past, but also to consider the future. So Haggai comes to these people yet again. He comes addressing another problem. He's likely confronting the same problem as Zechariah. If you look at the next page over, Zechariah was a contemporary or someone who served right alongside of Haggai in the same time. You see there in verse 1, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah. He was another prophet. And his message to them is, turn from your evil ways. Repent. Now this seems a little bit strange since Haggai has been calling them to build this temple. And we've been talking about how building the temple was an act or a fruit of repentance, that they had worked toward this. But you could easily see how Haggai's message could be interpreted only, build this house. Just build and work for the Lord. It could have easily become a type of work that they did, but their hearts were not involved in. And Haggai and Zechariah give a message saying, return to Him with all of yourself, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body. Let this work come forth out of your heart. And so Haggai approaches this problem with two questions. He gives two questions to the priests at the temple, and they relate to holiness and impurity. So he says in verse 12, if someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread, stew, or wine, or oil, or any kind of food, does it become holy? Haggai is setting up a foreign scenario to us. We don't come to a temple. But in their day, they did. They came to a temple in which they brought and sacrificed meat. That meat was considered holy, and the priests would take portions of that meat. They would carry it into the fold of the garment. Now, Leviticus 6 tells us that that meat and the garment are holy. Now he tells them, imagine that that fold of the garment hits some piece of food. Common food, not consecrated and holy and pure food. Just regular old food like bread or pizza or wine or oil. Anything such as that. Would it become holy, he asks them. Does it become pure and consecrated to the Lord because it has touched that holy garment? The priest answered and said, no, absolutely not. And it seems they get this answer right, and Haggai moves on to the next question with the next scenario. What if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these? Does it become clean? This time he puts the image of an unclean, impure person. Someone who has touched a dead body. One of the worst sorts of defilement. And he goes and he touches just common food. Pizza, oil, wine, bread, any of these. Now does that become unholy? And the priest's answer, it does. It becomes unclean, and they get it right again. What's the point that Haggai is trying to make here? Before he even applies it, he's telling the people, think about unholiness and impurity. Think about how holiness is not as contagious as impurity. Holiness does not transfer as quickly as impurity. It's far easier to spread around uncleanness than to spread around holiness. And so Haggai takes these laws about impurity and uncleanness and applies it to the people. And he says, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands and whatever they offer is unclean. People's work does not come from a pure, undivided heart towards God. All that they do and devote to God or give to God in their sacrifices is impure and unclean. They are working, but it is not accomplishing anything but adding to their judgment. They are, again, in need of repentance. People of God, you may take part in all sorts of sacred activities. You may come to church every week. You may take notes on the sermon. You may sing loudly and beautifully. You may give over 10% of your money, and you may even come to the Lord's table. But to be in contact with these things does not automatically convey holiness. To take part in these things as mere duty and work does not make one pure. Psalm 51 tells us, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Samuel 16 says that God sees the heart. God knows whether you come to these things out of love for Him, or out of mere duty. If we are honest with ourselves, most of us have gone through a time where we are just merely going through the motions. We accomplish our tasks, but we're half-hearted, lethargic. So how do we change our hearts? How can we gain this purity, this holiness? The answer is only to turn and trust in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who can make the impure pure. He is the one who can make the unclean clean. We can see this because a woman who was unclean for 12 years due to the discharge of blood knew the power of Jesus. She came looking for Him just to touch the fold of His garment. She trusted that He was the one who could make her clean, who could restore her back to fellowship with God, because as an unclean woman, she was expelled from the temple, expelled from any relationship with God. And when she touched His garment, He did not become unclean, but His holiness, His cleanness came upon her. Christ's holiness is contagious. He is able to transfer His purity. And as we come to this table, know that the bread and the wine is not the physical body of Christ, but His work and His person is as real as that bread and wine. And He is just as able to make our impure and half-hearted hearts pure. It is His efforts that renew us day by day. It's His work that makes us pure. We can see it, we can touch it, and we can know the reality of it. We can know that He has accomplished all this so that we can be pure. We can be restored to fellowship with Him. So let that bread and wine strengthen your faith that He has done such a marvelous work that even your half-hearted attempts at times are joined with Christ's righteousness and made holy. It is when you focus on His work and recognize what He has done for you that your love for Him will grow. And you will commit yourselves more and more. And His Spirit will continually awaken our hearts. Let us pray for that regularly, especially if we are in those times in which we go through the motions. If you turn to Him and you have faith in Him, then you can expect change. And this is what Haggai points out in verses 15 through 19, which is our second point. He starts off again calling the people to consider. He wants the people to take time to reflect. And in the first part, He wants them to think about life before they started working on the temple. These phrases can be a little bit confusing, as it says they were to consider from this day onward, and then it says before stone was placed upon stone. That onward, as you might know, can also mean backwards, just as the Hebrew word for blessed can actually mean curse. But we look at it in context and seeing that He wants them to look from this day onward or backwards before stone was placed upon stone. Consider that time before you began the work on the temple. Consider what had happened. What was I doing to you? If they looked back, they would see that when they looked upon a field and upon the produce of the field, they had thought that there would be at least 20 measures. And they would get 10, a 50% loss. The same was true for the grapes. When they gathered the grapes from the field and they looked at it, they thought they could get 50 measures, but they only get 20, a 60% loss. And this was because God had brought upon them blight and mildew and hail to destroy the works of their hands. That work was all destroyed. They had not followed His laws and His ways. And God brings upon them those curses found in Deuteronomy 8, which says, "The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and fever, inflammation and fiery heat, with drought and with blight and with mildew, and He shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron." But God does not cause them to perish. He sends His disciplining hand to warn them that they would return to Him and His ways. And Haggai wants them to look back at how they fared before they began this work, before they laid stone upon stone and the foundation was laid. But they also need to consider what God will do for them now. This day marks a turning point in the life of the remnant. And even now He has told them the work of their hands is defiled. But He wants them to know from this point onward, you will be blessed. Consider the future. Verse 18 says, "Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day onward, I will bless you." This very day, God is going to take their defiled efforts and bless them. Once again, these phrases might be a little bit difficult to understand, but if we think about the season in which they are in, they make a little more sense. They've just gone through all their harvest season. November would have been the beginning of the rain and the planting. They would have spread the seed from their barns so that it would be ready for the coming season. The fruit trees that did not yield fruit last year will now bear fruit in the coming year. This following season, they ought to expect great things from God. He is going to bless their defiled work. He's going to give them the covenant blessings rather than the covenant curse. Now, our text is completely missing any sort of response. It's not quite clear whether the people do repent. But it is clear that God is going to bless their efforts no matter what. This is a turning point, and He is going to continually show love and care for them. And they are to consider that while they were still sinners, God came to them in mercy and grace. He came to them with undeserved favor. So people of God, when you come to the table this morning, come confessing your unworthiness. Yet know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Know that even though the works of our hands are tainted with sin, also know that because of the righteousness of Christ, you are blessed. Know that you receive His grace because of what Christ has done. And He will take your broken efforts and bless them. He will take your tainted offerings and use them for your good and the good of the kingdom. So, beloved children of God, pure and holy works come from a pure and holy heart. We can only have this because of Christ's work. He has blessed us with His pure and holy life. So this is why we come to the table, recognizing that God blesses a broken and contrite heart. And know that He will bless the work of our hands. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and mighty Father, we ask that You would apply to us the work of Christ through Your Word and Your sacrament this morning. Give us grace and help our faith to increase, that we might continually repent and believe in You, that we would find our purity and our holiness in You, and that we might live a life of gratitude, doing all that You have commanded. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.